Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live on WGN Radio. What is Technori? Well, what it is where Chicago's top founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. We've got an incredible show today. We are live streaming, I think, although that's yet to be known. John's shaking his head, so let's assume we're not, but we're going to be live streaming at some point here. Anytime there's a Verizon tool, you just never know. So what our show is going to be about today, we've got incredible guests. We're featuring two of the female founders who are going to be on the Technori Showcase this Tuesday, which if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, I don't know why I'm telling people this given the fact that we're not live streaming, but let's just say we have tickets that are available at technori.events. Use WGN as a promo code, save yourself 25%. The next guest we've got on is Yazin, who's going to talk about some pretty cool tech. But what we're here talking about with our first guest is water. I think water is an important thing for everyone. We're going to talk about Water Day with Pete Mulvaney, and we've got Adam Beeson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess right off the bat, what is Water Day?
So World Water Day is an event created by the United Nations in 1992. They recognized the importance of fresh water to our society, and they recognized that it was at risk, that many people around the globe and the planet don't have access to fresh water. So they put forth a proclamation. In 1993, March 22nd, was our first World Water Day. There's an annual theme for World Water Day, and this year it's about wastewater reuse.
How did this whole thing come about? Because, I mean, and I definitely don't want to go on a political anything on this show. Well, we can. I mean, we're not live streaming yet, so we can say whatever we want. But it seems like this is a topic that is pretty important, and sometimes I feel like it's sort of swept under the rug and it's not really a big thing. And people, I wonder if people just don't know how much has to take place, how much giving, how much time has to take place, and how many parties such as yourselves have to get involved in order for us to have something like a Water Day. What does it take to even, how does a person have a Water Day?
At West Monroe, we've opted to inform folks and educate folks on this issue of fresh water. We're hosting an event. We're going to have two panels tomorrow for World Water Day talking about the business risks associated with water. And we got involved essentially because that's part of our business. Part of our business at West Monroe is helping to manage water resources, primarily through water utilities, but also in the private sector as well.
What is, like, I don't want to get totally off on a tangent, but like what is exactly like the business side of water? I've never in my life, A, I've never heard the term, and then two, I've just, A, two, B, whatever. I've never even, you know, really thought of what exactly goes on to...
Yeah, sure. So let's not forget that water is pretty remarkable. It supports not only all of us, everything that lives on planet Earth, but also it supports our societies and our economies. Every single business relies on water, right? So you may need access to water to produce your products. You may need a certain quality of water that may or may not be available anymore. It could be that climate is shifting and you're anticipating a certain sequence of rain events for your business, and that's not going to happen. River levels will change, so you may not be able to get your goods on the river. The rivers may be too high and you can't get your goods through, or they may be too low and you have to dredge the Mississippi River. Oftentimes that happens because the volatility of water, that happens in the same place. I don't know if you remember Cairo, Illinois, not long ago. They were dredging the Mississippi River to get the barges through. A few months later, they had to blow the levees because the water was so high. So there's a great deal of energy and effort, as you say, like a great deal of planning and capital, largely on the government sector, to try and keep our water systems so that they can effectively support our societies.
I wonder, it's fascinating, and I can honestly have a whole show just talking about this sort of stuff, to be honest. I mean, I wonder if we should do a better, I know we should, but I wonder if we could do a better job of letting people know the business, the ramification, the infrastructure stuff that goes on with water, because I think part of the problem is we just think of like, here's a Fiji bottle of water, I throw it down, and I flush the toilet, whatever, and like, I don't think we think about, obviously you know people travel via water, but I don't think people are thinking about barges, thinking about trash refuse that they are removing out with water, obviously plants and things like that. I wonder if there's a way to make Water Day sort of water month or water year, where you just continually have people doing things. I suspect that part of that is going to come on the tech side, so I'll kind of swing over to Adam here and talk a little bit about how we blow this whole thing up in a good way.
Right. So I'm with G2 Crowd, and we don't officially work in the water space. We actually work in the B2B software and services review space. But the conversation about water was one that we were having amongst our own team, and we were looking actually at some stories from one of my colleagues who had adopted his kids from Uganda, and a conversation he was having about walking 2 kilometers to get water for his daughter's village. And he was talking about his son's village, where the only way he could take a bath was if it rained, because that was the only way they actually had access to the water. And that was where we started looking and saying, well, what is it that we as a company can do at G2 Crowd? We believe very heavily in our culture about compassion, and that was what really drove us as an organization to look at this. And what we actually figured out is, you know, our opinions alone can make a difference. What we've done is we've started an initiative where people can go to g2crowd.com/water, provide a review of the software or services that they use, provide their opinion, right? And in turn, we're going to donate $10 to World Water Day through Charity Water. That's 10 days worth of clean water for somebody who doesn't have access to it. According to Charity Water, 663 million people on the planet Earth do not have access to clean water. So we looked at it as a technology company and said, well, what is it that we can do? How can we make this difference? And so that's the initiative that we started. Now, World Water Day is tomorrow. We're actually going to continue doing this through the month of April. We're seeing some nice returns on this initially with people engaging with it. And we're looking for more and more people to do it. And now we actually have other technology companies who said, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. We want to do it too. How can we partner with you?
What is the best way for companies to partner? Because I feel like, you know, this is not just in the water space, but in a lot of philanthropic areas, mm-hmm. there's tons of companies who set aside money to do it, and they end up at the end just cutting a check to like whatever, whoever ends up going there. They really don't know how to track it. What is it that you guys are doing to make it easier for other groups and companies to get involved and make a difference?
So for us, what we've done through our G2 Gives initiative is we have said, hey, you know what? Engage your own team. Engage your own customers. Engage your own networks. Have people provide their opinions, their reviews of the software and services that they use on a day-to-day basis on our site. And again, we will make that donation to Charity Water. This doesn't cost you a check. All this costs you is a little bit of time reaching out to people and then them providing approximately 12 to 15 minutes to do a review of the software or services. And in turn, they're also going to bring transparency to their B2B networks and their B2B marketplace, thereby helping one another altruistically with people trying to learn more about the software and services that they may be using in their business life. And if you really think about it, we've all been on Amazon probably in the last week, right? And we've
30 minutes ago.
Right. And we've all read the reviews or contributed our own. Similar concept, right? We all want to do it there. We all use them there. In our business lives, maybe we do, maybe we don't. Well, what we're finding is more and more people are actually doing it. We have 150,000 validated reviews on our site, and we have 800,000 people using our site on a monthly basis. We look at this and say, this is opportunity. This is opportunity to engage those populations and say, hey, you know what? Our opinions in this marketplace can make a difference for the world, so why don't we try and leverage them?
I feel like this is one of those things that you should need to incentivize people to do the right thing,
right.
But you do.
Right.
And it's one of those things where I think this connects people in a way where, you know, I can get involved with you in business. I can meet clients and people and other businesses that I never would have engaged with. I never would have met them. I wouldn't have thought to call them out or whatever, and actually form new partnerships. And with that, they can come back to you and work on even other things. It doesn't just have to be water. There's lots of different ways that they can get involved by starting off. I think, in my opinion, at least my experience, starting off a relationship that's not sort of like symbiotic in a way. Like I can start a relationship that is neither one of us are trying to make money with one another. We're just trying to do good together. So we've actually built a partnership. And then from there, maybe we end up doing business together. So I think there's even more to this than the root cause of what you're doing.
You know, I think that what you're describing is actually one of the building blocks of G2 Crowd. Our founders came together based on 7 principles, but one of those big principles was compassion. Compassion isn't the idea that you just give to help somebody or that you recognize a problem. Compassion means that you identify an issue or a problem, and then you stand up yourself and you say, I want to help. And what we're really describing is how compassion is being seen more and more in our business community. And that's something that we emulate with G2 Crowd, with our culture, in that when we look at a problem, we say, okay, how can we approach this with compassion, where we identify the problem or the issue or the challenge, and then we take action. We take action working together, working with joy and with an expectation of excellence, but really looking to bring people together to make that difference.
So, Pete, I'm going to circle back to you for a second here. I want you to kind of paint a picture of what the people who will be potentially going to or participating in Water Day, what they're going to see. What is it going to look like? What's the experience going to be like? And then I'm going to kind of kick it back to you guys on, you know, how can people get more involved? I know it's coming up on us here now, but, you know, whether it's this next one or then the next one in the future, how do people get involved with you guys?
Sure. So the event we're hosting is going to be panels of business leaders. There'll be Bank of America, Zurich Insurance, Microsoft.
So just tiny companies.
Yeah, just little guys. Yeah. These guys, you know, not much influence. And what they're going to be speaking about is the risk to their industry and also how they manage the water footprint that they have within their own buildings, within their own footprint, right? So, for example, Zurich Insurance, one of the largest claims in the insurance industry is for flooding, right? That's the most common claim. So they're very interested in understanding what's causing that, how do we prevent it, what are the impacts, and what kind of mega trends are out there that are driving additional flood claims.
Yep.
Bank of America, for example, they make investments in a lot of corporations, right? And if you're planning on, for example, your company needs a lot of water to make their product, well, it matters where you're gonna make that, where your water resources are, and so that may influence your loan rates. And so they factor these things, the water access, into their business. The second panel is going to be food and beverage. We've got Miller Coors, we've got Pepsi, we've got McDonald's, and they'll be talking more about sustainability, the way that their companies are developing strategies and principles around water, how they implement that, and how they influence their supply chain. Of course, a lot of times it's the supply chain for a product that creates that impact on water. And so they want to manage not only their own footprint, but extend beyond. So, for example, Miller Coors is a real strong proponent of sustainable farming. Why? Because if you don't have water, then they won't be able to grow the barley and they won't be able to produce their beer. So that's what you'll hear at the West Monroe event tomorrow. A lot of, as I say, a lot of discussion about the risk to business associated with water.
Very, very cool. And I get, well, you know, it's actually just struck me now that you said this, these tiny little companies. Mm-hmm. Imagine how much impact you can have. Like, forget about, obviously, we want all the people to go to Water Day and learn all about this and get involved and join up with, you know, crowd and everything, get on it. But the amount of change that can happen by just getting those major companies that employ tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, to be more responsible as individuals in the water world, that might be the biggest impact you guys have. Might well just be the fact that you have a million employees across seven companies that change the way that they treat the water.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Where do people go to learn about, obviously it's tomorrow, so it's kind of short notice, but where do people go to learn about getting involved or going to it? And then more importantly, in the future, for the next Water Day, how do people start this conversation with you?
Well, I think that we're starting the conversation here, right? We're helping people to recognize that the problem exists. And to your point about millions of people getting involved, awareness is a start. Now there's the compassionate side of, okay, how do we take action? What do we think about next time we turn the water on? What do we think about when we go through our daily lives? The challenges that we may see on the infrastructure side to access issues that we see in the world. As far as G2 Crowd is concerned, g2crowd.com/water. That's our site that we have set up specifically for collecting reviews of software and services to support World Water Day and Charity Water's efforts. I think we're going to continue this going past World Water Day. We're going to keep that site up and running all the way through April. So a little more of a window for people to participate and take advantage of the offering that we're making around that. And I think that the biggest thing is be aware of it. Start to look for opportunities where you can make a difference and recognize that there's some really great groups out there who are taking steps to make a difference, like Charity Water and others.
I would ask you guys, so when you're done with this, when World Water Day is done tomorrow, I would love to see you guys put together some sort of, whether it's digital, video, audio, podcast, something, or written blog, whatever, that summarizes what all has been taking place and send it our way. And we'll go ahead and share it so that people can find out, those that didn't get to get there this time, they can find out about what went down. And hopefully they call to action you before the end of April and start working for next year, because that'd be awesome.
Great.
Very cool. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you.
So we are going to segue back over to our good friend Showbiz Shelley.
Hi, Scott.
Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me, as always.
This could be a conversation amongst seven or eight people, or could it be amongst, well, it looks like seven or eight people, because I see that right now we've got still technical difficulties. But okay. I want to learn as much as we possibly can from you, as always.
Yes.
On the celeb and tech and entertainment front.
So there's a lot of good stuff actually happening today. So first, I want to inform you about Chance the Rapper. So with Chance, this is pretty interesting what's going on with him. So as you probably know, he is independent, has no record label behind him. And so a lot of people were surprised to find out that he actually made a deal with Apple Music, that he got paid $500,000 for his music to stream on there for 2 weeks. Then after that, it went for free on Spotify and everywhere else. And so he took to Twitter over the weekend, where he said that he felt the need to take on people and to really sort of say why he decided to do that, because a lot of people were saying, you sold out, how could you do that? And so he said, I want to clear things up. Apple gave me $500,000 and a commercial to post Coloring Book exclusively on Apple Music for 2 weeks. That was the extent of my deal. After 2 weeks, it was then on SoundCloud. I needed the money, and they're all good people over there. He said, I feel like if I didn't clear it up, people would keep trying to discredit all the work we did to make Coloring Book what it became. So he partnered up with, of course, Apple Music, a huge tech giant in the world. And he said, you know what? They're good people over there, so that's why I decided to work with them. And he also, if you remember, he did the Magnificent Coloring World Party. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah. So it was a great show, but he lost $250,000, he said, from doing that whole thing.
I could go on for literally days when it comes to Chance the Rapper on this, because I think, and I'm not like, I like Chance the Rapper. I like the music. But that's not like my scene so much.
Yeah.
But what he's doing to flip that entire industry on its head is just blows me away.
Isn't it phenomenal?
It really is.
Yeah. And so he says that he went on in a lot of tweets to say basically that if you have the opportunity and you work hard, keep doing what I'm doing, and you could make it there even without a big giant behind you. He says it's possible.
You just have to be incredibly, incredibly, incredibly talented.
Very talented. Yes, that would be ideal.
Dude hustles. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, he does. Just something else too that's pretty cool. Stephen Hawking is going to space. I thought this is fascinating. Yeah. So he said he told this talk show, Good Morning Britain, that he'd never dreamed he'd be able to head into space, but Sir Richard Branson offered me a seat on Virgin Galactic, he said, and I said yes immediately. I would want to do this. I wouldn't want to be the first one to do this, but I'd want to do that. Not so much.
I don't know what to do, because I think it's cool and it would be really neat. I just have like I travel.
Yeah.
But I like to be home in 48 hours or less, basically.
Oh, you're like a short trip kind of guy.
I'm a hop on a Concorde, totally fine if I'm in the air as long as I'm on the ground. I don't care.
Really?
Like, I just want to get, I'll drink and medicate myself and do a coma on the way there.
Okay.
And then I land, and as soon as, it doesn't matter where I go, okay, my whole life, I'm boots on the ground, it is go time, and I go 1,000 miles an hour wherever I'm at,
uh-huh,
and then I hop back on that plane, but I want to be like, I'll leave a Thursday. I'll take a Thursday night flight, wake up in the morning, like off the plane on Friday.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday, just crushing it. And then all day Sunday home, and I'm back on the job on Monday morning, rock and roll.
Wow. So space wouldn't be the thing for you.
It could be. It's got to be a little faster.
How quick it is. Yeah. Need,
if I took like every jet that they had and strapped it onto my ass, maybe.
Right. And went full speed ahead. So I think we're still a little bit away from that. But anyway, curious to see how that goes. And lastly, there's a cool event happening. Women Tech Founders, which is an organization advancing women in tech leadership, is hosting their first conference. And so that's happening at 1000 West Fulton Market, March 23rd. And I know that this is a big theme, women in tech. And I think you have some guests coming up, right?
Well, we do. Yes. So we've got a couple guests on this show right now that are going to be on our event, which is partnered with Women Tech Founders. And that's going to be on the 28th.
Yeah.
The 23rd, I believe that is Google's location, if I'm not mistaken, where they're at. And it is supposed to be great. I talked to Terry Brax the other day, who's the head of Women Tech Founders, and they are incredibly excited about it. A few of the people who are presenting at Technori are actually presenting there. I believe Julie Novak from Party Slate is one of the people speaking. And two of the other speakers are previous Technori presenters.
Look at that. I figured there'd be some crossover there.
So you know this crossover.
Yeah.
We all speak, this tech community.
It's
all
intertwined.
We're all in the talk. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your little segment there.
Cool.
Hope people learn a lot about this stuff. I think the entertainment, as tech gets bigger, the entertainment part of this.
Oh, yeah.
The celebs and all the, I mean, there's just so much money and opportunity.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and inform you of that. Each time we do this.
I think you should add one little piece to this, though. When you tell about, like, they're using pieces of technology, right? These mm-hmm. these celebrities. but they have to like swag up their stuff. So maybe you throw in like a little bit like what kind of leather protector for the phone they had, you know, something.
You want some accessories?
I think we should accessorize this show.
I would love that. Okay, I'll keep my eye out for that then.
Accessorize away.
And by the way, Chance the Rapper said he said to go buy your Lala ticket, which might mean he's going to be a Lala, which could be a whole other topic we could do another time.
Oh, anyway, well, we did Lala this year, so we should do Lala again.
Lala.
It sounds like a good time. Sounds like a good time to me. This is great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'm Scott Catoon. The Startup Showcase is back. This is TechNorway Live on WGN Radio. We are here with another amazing founder, Yazan Akawi.
Yep.
So I guess right off the bat, why don't we just start with what is your company, and then we're going to learn a whole lot about you as a founder.
Awesome. Yeah. So MSTQ is a boutique design consultancy. So we work with clients of all sizes or companies of all sizes to design for digital experiences that are part of their core business. So the types of things we design for mobile, tablet, web, and even beyond. So now we're getting into conversational interfaces like chatbots and voice and things like that.
What is the main size of your client typically? Like, are you working with
all over
literally
place.
Everyone?
So concept stage startups to hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue.
What would you say ultimately is like the meat and potatoes? Like, this is where we crush. Like, is it creating digital experiences only? Is there, you know, like there's so many things I feel like digital agencies now do. I mean, we were an app company. Now we're a web app and it just keeps going. So
for sure. So I think that's an interesting thing that I'm starting to discover about myself as a founder is I'm a terrible salesman, right?
Yeah.
And so having this notion of understanding like, okay, where's our sweet spot? For us as a company, it's really any organization that's looking to innovate. And the medium in which we help organizations innovate is via software and digital experiences. For me personally, what I'm finding is, so the company started with me working directly with founders. And so I'm a lot of things. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a designer. But I think I identify mostly as a futurist, like I'm very forward thinking. So I think a lot of the value that I provide to my clients when we were first starting was this notion of a shared vision. So I could solve problems for companies that are looking to either create an innovative solution as a startup, as a base or a core product for their startup, or help legacy companies either redesign their software or create a new ecosystem for their customer. And for me, working with entrepreneurs, having that shared vision and being able to see far into the future and saying, this is who your user base is, this is the problem that you need to solve for them, and just me kind of being well-versed on emerging technologies and kind of where that intersects, that's my sweet spot. But we've kind of grown as a company where, you know, right now I'm looking for a business developer to kind of help us get into more corporate organizations to help people who aren't as entrepreneurial, because I have such a hard time doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I find that this is interesting because obviously you run a business, you own a business, you are therefore an entrepreneur. And you also come on from the design side. Maybe you come on from the design side first. And I wonder, you know, with the one of the things, and it's funny because this community of startups in tech community, it's getting so sophisticated as compared to what it once was kind of when we kicked everything off, you know, even not that we kicked it off, but like 2010, it's just a different world.
Totally.
And I'm wondering if we're at a point where we should start not just calling everyone an entrepreneur and being like, you know what, I am a helper of, you're the entrepreneur. You're the person whose focus is on driving growth, scaling a business. You had an idea and scale. I am a person who is going to design a solution around what you're trying to do.
For sure.
Because I feel like that's right now people are just like, you got your own agency, entrepreneur. You got your own show, entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely like the sexy thing now to be an entrepreneur. And I have the typical millennial story, just like quitting my corporate job and just kind of figuring it out. But I think you're right. Like, there's this huge boom with the information age and with digital like taking over every single business. Because right now, I think this is a huge benefit for me too. Every company is a software company.
Yep.
Right?
Every company is a tech company. We had someone call us the other day. They were like, you know, we're trying to get in the showcase. We're not like a tech company. I was like, how do people do business with you online? You're a tech company.
Right. So with the tech boom, it's almost like, you know, when you think about the gold rush, the people who made who created the most value weren't the gold miners. It was the people who were providing tools to the gold miner.
Yep.
So I kind of see MSTQ the same way. You know, if you're looking to innovate in the digital age, we can provide the tools, the services, the way of thinking to help you do that successfully.
I'm going to ask you two questions. Hopefully, you don't have to answer them if you don't want to, but I'm hoping I'm hoping you will.
Sure.
The first part is an easy one. What is the project that you've worked on that you're the most proud of?
So just recently, actually. I have a longtime client in the direct sales. And so this is these are the types of problems that we solve. So the three clients that we're working with currently are a multi-level marketing firm, which is a fancy word for a direct sales company.
Amway, for those who don't know.
No. Exactly. Yeah. Like Amway is those types of companies. It's not Amway.
No.
Okay. But what does the future look like for the direct salesperson? And then we're working with a mid-market software company for like a business management tool to help determine like what's the future for the photography industry and how do we create software for the modern photographer. And then another client is what's the future of financial advising and buying and trading stocks and how do we create software solutions. But for the direct sales client, we're working on a chatbot that helps automate some of those conversations for direct salespeople. So kind of building a downline, which is the model of those businesses, how do you create the tools to empower a direct salesperson to not necessarily be incentivized to continue to build people under you and, yep. and to have access to all of your customers in an automated way? So building a chatbot, which is, and I find myself getting into this rabbit hole of a conversation where I'll rant about chatbots, and at the end, like my mom, for example, will be like,
What's a
chatbot?
For those who don't know what a chatbot is, what is a chatbot?
So it's essentially like an automated, artificially intelligent robot that you can chat with. So think like...
it's not going to take my job, is it?
It might.
No, it's not taking my... it's not taking my job. Chatbot
no, I think people as good as you, you're safe.
Thank you.
But yeah, artificial intelligence. I was just having a conversation with some of the other guests inside about how, you know, the manufacturing jobs and how the story of that. And like no one's really foreseeing in the very near future of how artificial intelligence is going to provide that same story for even coding jobs.
I actually, not to get off on the tangent with it, but I get really... excited is the wrong word because I don't want people to lose their job, but I get a good snicker when I see on TV and they show all of like the different technology where people are wearing like exoskeletons and like, look at how much more stuff they're going to be able to move in the factory. No, you're not. That thing is going to be on like one person. It'll be on military personnel. And then there'll be little bots and machines buzzing around drones, carrying stuff all over the place. Well, sorry. I'm not sorry. Like it's just, things are moving so quickly. But anyway, that was like total random chant.
I could talk about this all day too. So we can
see. We should have just done this.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things you're incredibly excited about. What I want to ask then is, how did you land that project? How did you go into a company and tell them, this is what my vision is, this is what I want to try to get done, or how do I solve your problem? Like, what was your pitch? How did you get this project?
So yeah, that's such a good question. To go back to the point of how I'm such a terrible salesperson, I've been fortunate enough to build essentially a digital agency with just inbound leads and word of mouth and just direct relationships.
No, but I mean like once you got like the
this is kind of the story. Is like I'll have a lead from somebody who's interested in our services to just come in and do interface design or something very hands-on, like to help augment with some kind of design activity. And then, you know, once I get in and start talking about the future iterations or other parts of the businesses, since, like I said, we're solving business problems with design and not necessarily just, you know, we're not like traditional graphic designers where we're building a logo and then, or designing a logo and then running away. We're helping solve a problem. And so just kind of having these conversations with our clients, it's the reason we've grown is because we get into a very small project that turns into a long 6, 12, 18-month engagement.
Very cool. Very cool. So we're going to try to help jumpstart some more inbound calls for you. How do people find out more about you, and how do you prefer people learn how to work with you?
Sure. So, if you want to work with MSTQ, you can just email me directly, yazin@mstq.io. That's spelled Y-A-Z-I-N. And if you want to learn how to work with us, I think it's just a casual conversation. I think we're ramping up where I'm starting to have people to do. Really, I want to avoid RFPs and like these formal pitches.
Everybody does.
Yeah, I think the whole industry should just boycott it, boycott RFPs and that sort of thing, because I think the most successful engagements that we go into are having a very clear understanding of what the problem is. And like I said, we're trying to figure out what is the future for your customer, and that isn't necessarily the beginning of the conversation. It's usually like, hey, we're building this new thing, and we want to know what the interface looks like, and we want it to be usable and user-friendly. But there's usually bigger problems that come with that. So a lot of that education process comes with a long conversation.
Very cool. Thank you so much for taking the time. Yes.
Thanks for having me.
This is great. So, Sean, we're going to be pumping you into this little segment here.
Boy.
Well, you know, I don't want to get you too excited over there, but before we let you off on a rant of your own on the feed and,
sure.
and keep people up to know what is going on in tech in Chicago, I had to riff with you a little bit on this whole futurist thing.
Yeah.
I was going to interrupt him and say, what is like futurist? Because I know some people out there, Elon Musk talks about being a futurist and that's sort of his thing. It is, I want to like say right here, the next big thing is the futurist. Like that's the new cool person is the futurist.
Can I put that on my resume? I am a futurist.
I mean, you got to tell me, what is a futurist to you?
Well, I'm going to take it as, it's a word I think that meets outer space. I think, because you said Elon Musk, and I think Elon Musk is so often attributed to that word, and I think he so much is the spearhead of where things are headed. And something that Yasin said that really stood out to me was how every company has to think of itself as a software company. And so much and more of our lives are in the digital space. So I'm thinking it's this mix of like putting things into the digital space more and more. But then again, and this is like such an open conversation.
It's like a predictor. I feel like if you go out and talk about tech in your predictor, then it's like, well, I am telling you the future, I think, as I see it.
It's cool. Like a catch-all term in a lot of ways.
It's like entrepreneur. I think futurist yeah. is to be what entrepreneur is right now. The new cool is like, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm running my thing. And then the next thing is I'm a futurist. Like, I know where the next entrepreneurs are going to be able to do business at. I think that's where it's going.
Ah, okay. That makes sense to me.
As a girl, would that, like, if that's my pickup line, like right now I'm an entrepreneur, what if I said I was a futurist? Does that score points?
They're like, who? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I would have no idea what you're talking about. But now I do. But yeah.
So all the guys who approach Showbiz Shelley from now on, I'd be like, hey, I'm a futurist.
I mean, now at least I have somewhat of an idea of what they're talking about. But I would say don't use that line.
Not yet?
No, not yet.
It still has like a spaceman Martian
used,
feel to
it.
He's using it.
Let me try.
He's going to try it. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to go back with Sean here and give you the mic here for a minute and keep us up to speed on what's going on.
So I am the host of Technori The Feed, which you can see on Facebook, YouTube, and Technori.com every Monday afternoon. This week, we talked about a major IPO that dropped in March, and it was Snapchat. Snapchat hit the market at $24, which was considered pretty high for Snapchat because it is a company that has not turned a profit. But it does have a massive audience, 150 million users a day, and a very young audience. And it's been dropping steadily since it hit the market. It's at $20 today, but it got to its lowest at $17. Seasoned investors say do not invest in Snapchat. Yes. But the youngsters, the young investors, the futurists, I suppose, are jumping on because I think there's still a lot of hope for Snapchat. But I compare this to other social media outlets like Facebook, and Facebook had similar ups and downs. The thing is, Facebook is so much more massively successful and popular as compared to Snapchat. It is worth 68 times more than what Snapchat is worth. And Snapchat is getting more revenue. It's getting more users. But it, like I said, it hasn't turned a profit. So I would say right now, I've never invested real money. I've always done the fun play.
I've never had
play.
Real money.
Monopoly money? Yeah.
Yeah, I've always just done the play school, like have fun Yahoo investing. But the advice is to hold or sell your stocks and Snapchats. But we're still in the early going there. So let's be a little fair. I personally love Snapchat.
I do too. This amazes me. They haven't turned a profit yet?
No, the company has not turned a profit.
Wow.
And strangely, they market themselves, or rather their CEO, Evan Spiegel, markets itself as a camera company.
So I was just going to say, you know, my first thing I'd tell you, Sean, is to don't use Yahoo, because that's why you got hacked by the Russians.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The other thing about Snap is, I totally agree with you, Sean, when you talk about the fact that Facebook 64 times, at any time, if they wanted to buy Snapchat, they could have. They made an offer originally and he turned it down, but they could have done it. But what they ended up doing was screw it, and they just copied it.
Yeah, Right.
The Messenger and Stories and Instagram, it's just copied it directly. So they don't even
Which is
like
a good tactic, right?
It's a great tactic. Yeah. It sucks if you're the other guy, but that's the tactic that they used.
But you know what? Matt Spiegel's dating a supermodel, or he's with a supermodel, so I wouldn't worry about him.
Yes. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. He's got an $820 million bonus.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Right. He'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about him.
Yeah.
No, all is well. And I'm sure he'll be like the rest of these serial founders that are 25 and 6. They'll give a lot of money away to charity, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But they'll launch other things. You know, mm-hmm. Jack Dorsey with Twitter has launched Square and a few other things. So there's no doubt that it's going to work out. But I do think if I had to put my money on Snap, I think it's going to float around like it is right now, kind of meh. But I what I'm looking for Snap is, it's funny he says a camera company. I look at it as a music company. I think Snap is going to have a really, really interesting play in music, and they're already starting to put stuff out there, but I think there's gonna be something real cool there.
Interesting.
Okay.
So I'm happy to see Snap go down a little bit. And then I would probably buy some shares and just sort of float with it.
Okay.
And see what happens, because I really do think that they're in a position, they know that they're gonna get cut up by people, so they're in a position to uniquely try different things, knowing that they're not a direct competitor, because people are just ripping them off anyway. You know, they're not a competitor of Facebook. They're not gonna try to Not everyone is going to be able to afford to have a phone with a camera and all the nice stuff. Like, that's just, I don't know.
I enjoy the filters. That's what I'll say.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
We need to create a Technori filter. I don't know why we haven't done this yet. Yeah, my girlfriend told me this the other day. I'm supposed to have a Technori filter, and I don't even know how to use Snapchat. I can't figure it out.
Oh, my gosh, Scott. I'll have to help you. We'll help
you. Someone help me. Sean, I
will help you.
I don't know what I'm doing.
We'll get you on that.
I don't know what I'm doing, period. Sean.
Anyways.
Nice segue. Sean, that was great. Thank you so much for filling us in on the news feed.
Absolutely.
And I guess we'll see you on Thursday, where you're going to tell us what next week's feed looks like.
Yes, Amazon is moving into the brick and mortar area. So we'll
literally,
talk about
the,
that.
not the brick and mortar, the book and mortar.
Yes.
I love that.
It was an unintended pun, but
it worked out perfectly. Entering the book and mortar. Very cool. Thank you so much. I'm Scott Catoon. This is the Startup Showcase, Technori, live from WGN Radio. Our next guest, Trisha Montgomery of Canine Fit Club. Also a presenter on Tuesday at the Technori Showcase, which is all female founders. I am excited to have you here in studio and talk about this. I'm excited to hear your feelings coming up to the showcase on Tuesday. And then I just want to talk about dogs.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, female founders rock. We rock.
I totally
and
agree.
And it's the month of us. So, I mean, what better place and what better stage to present than Technori?
I totally agree. And there's been a bunch of events. Showbiz Shelley mentioned the Women Tech Founders Conference, which is on Thursday.
Right.
This is a perfect time to sort of talk about you as an entrepreneur and as a female founder. How did you get into and decide to become an entrepreneur, you know, just in general? What was your background?
My background was really morbid obesity. I used to weigh 265 pounds, and I went to see my veterinarian, and he looked at me, and he basically said, every time I came in, not only was my dog Louie gaining weight, he had the onset of diabetes, but I wasn't getting any thinner. Yep. That started the chain reaction of where we are right now and developing Canine Fit Club. And Canine Fit Club in phase one, we were the Zumba of human and canine fitness. Now we're going into the Peloton model, a subscription-based model. Yeah,
it's a great model.
Anywhere, anybody, anytime can download Canine Fit Club classes via either live stream or on demand.
You know what is fascinating about this? The amount of people, I was one of them too, where it's like, if I get stressed out and tired, like, I don't end up going to the gym, weight ends up piling on, I got my dog, he's just sitting there looking like, you lazy, worthless POS. And we have a reason, a built-in reason to walk.
You do.
But we don't
first
do
of all,
it.
Your dogs don't think that you're lazy, or they love you unconditionally. And that's the beautiful thing about dogs.
You ought to meet my dog.
They love us no matter what. They love us. But obesity, unhealthiness, it goes up and down the leash. So if you're not getting any exercise, if you're eating unhealthy, who else is eating unhealthy?
Oh, they are.
Your dogs.
That's the thing. It's like, it's built in that I should want to take the dog for a walk. And yet you're like, meh, I just,
well, you don't have the time. And plus, sometimes we look at workouts as a chore or as dread. And so that dog takes away the embarrassment. It takes away just the chore and the dread of working out. It allows you to have fun. I mean, you're getting tail wags. You're getting kisses. You're getting healthy and happy in the process. It's a win-win situation.
It is. And that's where I want to segue into the business side of this.
Sure.
Because I have to say, I'm going to use myself as an example. Again, I have a Bazenji. It's a five-year-old Bazenji named Boo Ray.
Okay.
Anyone who follows me on Facebook and Twitter is very familiar with Boo Ray. He has his own hashtag, Boo Ray the dog, BTD. This is real. He is, if anyone knows what Bazenjis are, they're like the craziest. They're basically wild animals.
Yeah.
Cutest little tail. Looks like a deer. He's like a kiwi of an animal. But they're really, really energetic, and they like to fight and fun and run and just it's all this stuff. And he would sit there, and he actually gained weight to where he was probably like 33 pounds. He should be at like 26, 27 pounds. Okay. And he was sitting there because I was sitting there eating, you know, crappy food. And I'd be like, here you go, and whatever.
Right.
And hand him stuff. And I didn't realize, like, you know, you could take him to the dog park, let him run free. But then I can actually go on long walks. And if you start to go on long walks, you start getting your heart rate up and you start, like, conditioning it.
Uh-huh.
You condition yourself to, if I wake up in the morning, I go for a walk. And before I go to bed at night, I go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
They're pre-built-in mile-long walk.
Right.
The amount of change in how you feel
exactly.
physically just by doing that can be completely life-changing. And the moral of the story is not to take time away from you. The moral of the story is that he now weighs like 27 pounds and he's
right.
good to go and he's running all the time.
And you feel happier as well because people with dogs exercise 34% more than those without a dog. And you've created a habit. And that's what we're doing. We're creating healthy habits.
What about cat people?
Cat people are meowed. Get it?
They're weird people.
Meowed.
No.
Meowed.
Oh, I get it. Meowed. I know I caught you the first time. I just want to like double down. I think cat. Are there any cat people
no
in this
Feline
room?
No Feline Fit Club here today.
No. Do we have any cat people?
No. No pets here.
No.
No.
Oh, wait. No, we do
yes,
have a cat.
We have cat
Fiskers.
People.
Oh,
yeah.
Fiskers.
Cat person.
Fiskers is here. So one of our producers, Sam Fisk, but we call him Fisky with affection. He's got a kitty cat, and the whole team has got a cat, and they call him Fiskers.
Nice.
But
okay.
At any rate, I digress.
Surely I digress.
I digress. But I do agree with you. I think that not only are pets proven to be obviously massively helpful
right.
from health, but they're also really good when it comes to like older people. As getting them to keep walking around and move around, have some sort of responsibility and
exactly.
things to do.
Exactly. And Canine Fit Club is actually approved by Healthway Silver Sneakers, which means Medicare pays for people to come to Canine Fit Club classes. That's huge.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. And, you know, with this model going for subscription, it allows people now, anybody from all across the country, throughout the nation, download classes. They get the best access to the best instructors and classes anyone has to offer. And we have over 21 programs. So we have Papalotti's, Bark and Burn, Nama Sit Stay, Bow Wow Boot Camp, Sit Stay and Get Fit, Wagon Wheelchair, and more. And so the business model associated with it, it's a very profitable business model with a subscription model.
I have to ask, from the business side of this, I'm thinking Peloton, which by the way,
yeah.
I mean, it's a great, if you're able to copy Peloton, they
They're
are
doing
killing it.
They are.
They're
they
absolutely,
are.
It is such a brilliant model for the not just the hardworking every, you know, 70-hour a week, 80-hour a week, don't have time to go to the gym people, but the gig economy people who want to value their time and not be part of a membership thing where they, like, root and waste time, can
exactly.
just go home, it's whether it's 6 a.m. or it's 9 p.m. or whatever time.
Right. You're not driven by the gym hours. You're driven by more of your schedule.
Exactly.
And then that allows you to do anything, anytime you want.
So how do I do this with a pooch?
So with a pooch, it's science-based parallel programs for you and your dog. So there is an exercise to complement every aspect of you as a human. Now, bottom line, we focus on the human. And so because I've got to educate you, because if you're not filling the program, your dog's not going to fill the program.
Well, the dogs are smarter than us anyway. They can figure
they
out if
are.
We're unhappy or
they
happy
are.
And sort of move
it
along
is,
with it.
It is, but it's anthropomorphism at its finest, meaning that if you're feeling it, your dog's feeling the same
anthropomorphism?
Thing. Anthropomorphism.
That's a word I'll never be able to say. I'm able to say Montgomery just because.
Thank you.
That's just...
Yeah, but it, as far, you know, we're working, our team consists of just amazing people right now. We're working with Dudley Byler from Levere Capital Book Group and Alan Matthews.
Dudley, shout out. Dudley,
and
shout
just,
out.
I tell you what, but our ability, we're working with science-based University of Tennessee, University of Buffalo, all these people, National Association of Sports Medicine. So there is a science and credibility behind what we're doing. And the business behind it is a very lucrative business model, as well as extending the opportunity. And along with that, we're actually going to be considering Republic for crowd equity and sourcing.
Boom.
So very excited about that as
you
well.
You are the trifecta of Technori, because you're going to be on stage. We've made intros, I believe, to talk to Republic.
You did.
To get yourself on the equity
Brought
crowdfunding
it,
yeah. platform.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know this, but that Alan Matthews is the very first investor in Technori.
Right.
And then we've been talking to Dudley. I don't know. Did you use all of our money up? We've been trying to get a deal done with Dudley for about 90 days now, maybe more.
We've been dealing with Dudley for about a year and a half now. He was an early investor
that
with
explains
us.
It.
And just amazing, and really challenges you to think critically and looks at things vertically, where I'm more of just, you know, I've got ideas, but focuses on things as far as where we need to go with the business model and really challenging us to say, this goes here and this goes into this bucket.
And he's got cool shoes.
He is a cool guy. And he had a nice purple shirt on today. I saw him today.
Dudley Baylor. Dudley Baylor. He knows. He'll be listening to this track. He's going to love this. So I guess the last part I want to kind of get to is, and there will be much more of the business, unraveling of like how you explain what this goes when you go to Technori. So people are going to have to check you out on Tuesday, March 28th.
Absolutely.
And learn a lot more about it.
And it's the day before my birthday, by the way. So
even better.
Maybe balloons and candles and some presents. That'll be okay.
Are you going to bring any dogs?
If I'm allowed to bring dogs.
You can bring your dog.
I will bring a dog then.
Bring your dog.
Absolutely.
Bring your dog. Bring the cake. We'll have a great time. So the last thing I want to kind of get to before we let you roll here is sort of talk about what you have experienced from the standpoint of prepping for Technori. How do you feel about getting ready to go on stage in front of people and tell them, share with a bunch of people who don't know enough about you yet to tell them this is what I want to do?
I feel good about it. As you know, or maybe your audience doesn't know, we get to talk to Square Planet, and I had an amazing session with them yesterday, and I feel good about the presentation. It's a story. It's a honest, real story with us, and it flows very easy because of what we're doing and our want for people, not one from people, and our ability to touch people's lives as well as getting both of them in shape and then benefiting anyone who comes into Canine Fit Club from the investor or money side of it, because it's a tremendous business model. Again, following the Zumba model and the Peloton model, with those two, it's a win-win situation. But my experience has just been phenomenal. I can't say enough about it.
Awesome. I like to hear all these things. These are all good things. And I also love, you're the perfect example of a company who is right perfect for us. They come on and they can see all the opportunities we set up in front of them, and you're knocking them all out. That's great. Right.
Thank you. Thanks
awesome.
For having me.
Thank you so much, and hopefully people come check you out on Tuesday.
And remember, get off your butt and work out with your mutt.
I love that. Get off your butt and work out with your mutt. That's absolutely awesome.
That.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because I'm not a pet person, and I know we don't know each other that well, but I'm super into health and fitness and healthy eating. It never occurred to me that if you have a pet, you can easily incorporate your exercise routine with your pet.
I feel like it's a no-brainer, but you sort of just leave it behind.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What a great idea.
What do you do with the cat?
We each of us, we chase it around the basement every once in a while. He likes to be chased. That gets a few reps in.
Typical Friday night or what?
Yeah. It's a good way to pass the weekend. He never gets bored.
All right.
We were thinking about getting that all situated with what were we doing? I can't remember. We were talking about this earlier. If you can get all of the guys, like, what's your weekend going to be like? That's going to be our new addition to the show. Like,
okay.
Hey, guys, what are we doing this weekend? And we jump over to Sean. He's going to tell us what's going on. Well, we tied a treat around our cat's tail. We're going to chase a little son of a bitch around. It's going to be a good day.
It might be a good idea to rethink that segment.
I think this sounds like a terrific segment.
It could be fun.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Funny.
All right. Well, I'm Scott Catoon, and this is the Startup Showcase. We are doing Technori live from WGN Radio, and I am pretty excited to have another person who is going to be on our showcase on Tuesday. I want to welcome to the show Shirley Yang, and you are the founder of Muses App.
That's right. Hello, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, I just want to ask, we've been telling people you're coming in from New York. Where are you from originally?
So, California, Taiwan, New York, and now Chicago.
All right. So you're living in Chicago now?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we've got you from all over the place. This is really cool. So I am super excited about having you on Tuesday for a whole bunch of reasons. But one of them is just the whole idea of like how you built this business. You're going to do it better than me. Why don't you give sort of the quick elevator pitch on what Muses is?
Absolutely. So Muses is an influencer marketing app where influencers and businesses of all sizes can partner up within the app and build your social audience together.
So what I'm going to do right now is I'm tapping back in to get our amazing showbiz Shelly to be on this conversation.
Cool. Hi, I'm already in.
What an honor to meet you.
You too. So
I knew that she was going to be sitting here, and I wanted to sort of set this up, and I didn't. I should have built this up so much better. I didn't tell you, and I wanted to like see this going.
I had no idea you were coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, in my opinion, an amazing place to be, first off, from a business standpoint. The startup market for this is great. Popular Pays is another one that went to Y Combinator, Chicago-based, that is doing amazing things in this. I think that the future of media is not just going to be around the content itself, but the people who share the stories. If I trust you and you're the person who's in the know, you see all the celebrities. I don't see them. You see them. If you can tell me what to wear, I value what you say.
In my opinion, yeah.
Or what you look like while you're wearing it, like way more than I will value just a random review or Yelp or whatever. I think that the new influencer model is going to put the quote unquote Yelps and the anonymous individual who doesn't have like their profile hooked up to Facebook and they write all kinds of terrible stuff about people. Like, put a name to it, bro. Like, come on. So tell us a little bit more about how this works.
Absolutely. So within the app, there are preset groups that are all created with growing your social audience in mind. So, for example, there's something called in-person collaboration groups or post-exchange groups. So imagine if, let's say, you're an Etsy store owner, right, and you want to tell everyone about your wonderful soaps that you make. You can go inside the post-exchange group and gift influencers your soap and then have them create content for you and post on social media. Another way to do so is we let our members search our entire membership database. So you can search them by geolocation, social reach, by age, by categories, and say, who do I want to partner up with? And it's not just brand versus influencer, but we really encourage brands to work with brands, influencers to work with influencers. Mix it up however you think makes sense.
How do you define an influencer? Is it just number of people? Is it like, 'cause what if I'm, you know, I study network dynamics at Northwestern, so this is one of the things that I'm particularly interested in. When I look at how networks expand and grow, you could look at Shelly, for example, who has thousands and thousands of followers.
Yes, mostly on Instagram, 18,500.
There you go. 18,500 on Instagram. And I look at myself, I've got like a decent followership, but it's nothing like that. But I do know that lots of people come to me for advice and then they tell themselves, they tell their startup teams like what I told them to do. So how do you quantify or qualify who's an influencer?
I'm very glad you asked me that because...
Me too.
At first, honestly, I define an influencer as anyone who wants to grow their social following and wants themselves to be known. So anyone with a following, honestly, if you had 500 people, you're an influencer because you influence those 500 people. And that's why there are all these tiers being defined, such as your micro influencers, the 10,000 to 100,000, your power middles, the 250,000, your mega stars, awesome. 1 million and up, right? So I think... as long as you have a brand to build, you know, then you blur the lines of influencer versus brand. You know, yourself, you're an influencer, you're also a brand,
yep.
Right? Who says you have to be an influencer or just choose one, right? So that's why our app wants to service all. As long as you want to build a social presence, Muses is for you.
You seem discouraged, Scott, by being a micro influencer.
I mean, I've got a little Napoleon complex. It's fine.
Don't be though. She's saying that anyone and anyone can be.
Listen, I'm thrilled that I have like a category.
Yeah, you do. See?
We're in a category.
It's a step for sure.
I just want a little more.
Well, get on our app and you will.
Yes,
we'll
help you.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, one of the things I kind of want to tie in here is like, how does a person like Shelly, for example,
who has
a brand of her own, and she is an influencer, albeit a micro influencer.
Oh, that's okay. I'll take it.
How does she start building and using this to actually drive revenue? And then how does that drive revenue for you?
Mm-hmm. So I would ask, how do you currently drive revenue? And obviously I'm thinking, okay, getting sponsors, showing people your numbers, showing your engagement and your views, right? Mm-hmm. In order to up that, a really good way to do so is actually partnering up with other stars like you. You know, be seen together. Create your new squad. You know, people will see, oh, you hang
right
out
here,
with this person.
Right here.
Exactly.
Got the squad.
Okay. Take more selfies together. Go be seen together. So then people can see, okay, you know, maybe I'm following Scott, but I don't know about Shelly yet, mm-hmm. right? But I'll see you guys hang out together. You must be cool too. So you can cross audiences that way. That's one way. Another way is this app, you can actually pitch brands yourself. Instead of brands finding you, you just go on the app and you can search for, I want entertainment category. I want only businesses in Chicago. They have to have over 100,000 reach. And guess what? You can choose what you want to do. I want to be featured on your show, or I want to be featured on your billboard, let's say. And this is my price.
This is fabulous. What a great idea.
Thank you so much.
I feel like I have so many questions I don't even know where to start, and I know our time's running up too, so maybe we can talk after.
Well, here's the thing. Anyone can talk after.
Yeah.
Because Tuesday she's going to be presenting at Technori Showcase.
Perfect. That's right.
So
oh, good.
They can all come and ask questions, anything you want to learn about it. I just think this is the coolest thing. I'm not saying that because you're sitting here and you're going to be on the show and that you're here. We did a podcast thing, or you were at. You know exactly how I feel about this.
Yes.
The influencer thing, I really do think the monetization of media and just in general, every business, I don't care what you do, you are a media company. Mm-hmm. You disseminate information and people rely on you to learn. And if you have that podium and you have a followership, you should be able to make money and be their own salesman. And I really do think it will play a role in the pendulum of how we talked about this with Victory Lap last week, how salespeople fit into the game. Because if my customer base is my own sales force, we're all just building brands and putting products underneath it, and you're selling it to you and me and so on. So
yeah, it's kind of cutting out of the middleman almost in a way.
I mean,
yeah.
If it lowers the prices and Scott's happy, you know,
yeah, right.
little Bob coin in the pocket.
Good
no
stuff.
Problem. Very cool. Shirley, this has been awesome. Make sure to plug where people go to download the app and to learn more about it and everything we need to know.
Absolutely. The app launches in a couple weeks, but right now, please go check out our website, musesapp.co. Muses is plural. You can sign up for our newsletter and check out our Instagram at Muses, and we'll see you online.
Very cool. And you'll see him at Technori Showcase on Tuesday, March 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Chase Auditorium. You can go to technori.events and buy your tickets. Use WGN as a promo code. Save yourself 25%. And I want to thank Shelly, Showbiz Shelly, for showing up again and helping us out.
Thanks, Scott.
Sean, for the feed and the updates. You're going to catch these every week. We'll have Showbiz Shelly and Sean giving all the feed. And I want to thank all of our guests. I'm Scott Catoon. This has been your episode of the Startup Showcase with Technori Live at WGN. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast at iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Twitter and Facebook at Technori. Or you can follow me at Catoon. Boom. That's a wrap.